Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow, every now and then, the whole world just comes crashing. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen. And we do welcome you to this live Hope is Alive. I want to make sure we get all the phone lines up here. And good evening, Chris.
I'm here.
And we sure join you. Yes. For, and good evening, Mr. Cox.
Great to be with you, Chris.
Well, good. You've got Richard on the phone. I don't know if you've ever spoken with him or not, but you can say hello to him.
Hi, Richard.
Well, good evening, sir. Well, man, I'm here. I know John's listening in there at his house, and I'm just here at the Radio Ranch. We'll have the lines open, and Chris, I'll turn it over to you and Mr. Cox, and if we get a caller, I'll just sure let you know.
Sounds good. Well, we're here with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries out of Oklahoma City. For the last 3 weeks, Mr. Cox, they've heard testimony from people that have gone through the ministry, and they've also heard your testimony last week. But what I'd like you to do for someone that may be listening for the first time is just give a quick recap of what you do, maybe how you got started, and, you know, just a few minutes. And then I think we've got a testimony of one of your people that we should have on the line here in a little bit.
Well, very good, Chris, and again, thank you for having me. Well, you know, I never was groomed to do what I do. My dad was a mortgage banker. I knew I'd be going into that as I graduated from University of Oklahoma. I was then a naval officer. They were drafting back then, so I had the option of being an Army private or going through officer candidate school. I elected to do that with the Navy and was out on Guam Island 2.5 years out there. But finally back to the mortgage business, and I kind of thought that was what I'd be doing the rest of my life. But, you know, it's interesting how God sometimes has other things in mind. I was born again when I was 13, and I was a very sincere conversion, and I still remember that very day, of course, and my water baptism. But you know, I never grew very much. I look back, I found myself busy doing worldly things, not bad things, just busy with the world. I guess many people have been into that, and I just wasn't, well, I was too busy to read the Bible. And so I was into skin diving. I got into that while I was on Guam out in the Western Pacific. I was hunting and fishing, as I had through the years, into airplanes, owned four aircraft through the years, developed 5,000 pilot hours, commercial instrument multi-engine ratings, and then flying the aircraft to do the mortgage business. I specialize in commercial loans. And flying skin diving in the Bahamas and Mexico, hunting in Canada and even Alaska. So I was busy, but...
You might say you were living the American dream. It just wasn't the dream that God had laid out for you.
Yeah, I'd have to. That's very correct, Chris. But something did happen in my life that set me down hard. On March 15th of 1978, I lost an 18-year-old daughter. In fact, she was born on Guam Island. My wife was out there, and that. That's the worst devastation that a parent can ever have, and I hope none of the listeners have experienced that. Losing a child is the worst pain ever. And several months have gone by of agony and depression. And a friend of mine, that I'd grown up with, he's a pathologist, but we've hunted and fished together through the years a lot, and he suggested that some of his pastors come over. He was going to what's called a full gospel church. Now, I was going to church in my family, to a denominational church. Very nice people. And as I look back, it was we didn't even take Bibles to the church with us. So it was more of a social standing as I look back compared to what I know today. But when this tragedy happened in my family, he wanted to send some of his full gospel church pastors over to pray with me, and they came over one Saturday afternoon. I knew I needed something. Nothing was helping. Nothing of my background was giving me any relief. Well, when they walked in that Saturday afternoon, the first thing they said to me was, "What you need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And I remember saying to them, "What's that?" Well, they opened the Bible. Now, I'd always had a childlike faith that the Bible is the Word of God, and it's true. It's just that up to that point, I was too busy doing things to really read it. But they opened the Bible, and since I can read, they showed me some scriptures. Well, it didn't take me very long to realize that it did look like there was another baptism beyond the water baptism. And they showed me in John 14 where the Holy Spirit, when he comes in his fullness, that he is a comforter. And they said, "We would like to pray with you on this, on the Holy Spirit to come into your life in the fullness and bring a comfort." Well, you know, I couldn't see any downside of praying that. They did explain it had to do with speaking in tongues, which I thought always sounded far out. I heard of people that did that. I didn't really know anyone that did, but later I was to find out my friend had received that. He never told me. But anyway, I said, "Sure, lay this on me. I'm anything that'll help." And they did, and they took me through a prayer where I asked Jesus to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. They laid their hands on me. They had instructed me to open my mouth and try to push out some kind of mumblings, not anything in English, but some kind of sounds. And as I did that, I had this kind of a language, something I didn't understand. It was coming out of my mouth. And what was amazing, though, was at that very moment in time, this devastating pain and agony and depression right in the middle of me was suddenly pushed off to the side. And I remember I just basked in that comfort. I didn't understand it. It was that supernatural peace, I think, that you read about in the Bible that surpasseth all understanding. And I didn't understand it, but I sure took it. And even after they left, I remember laying on the couch with that, with my little prayer language going, my mumblings that I didn't understand, and just laying in that peace. And that was all I was really interested in. But right after that, my friend, my doctor friend, who was excited about I received that, he also told me about his little church that was doing some supernatural things, that they were casting out of evil spirits over there. They had a lot of hurting people coming with all kinds of problems, and they had discovered that many times those problems, even by the very name of the problem, represented the names of evil spirits, and that they were casting them out and getting a high level of success. Well, I don't know where the listeners are all coming from, but in my case, I needed to see it to believe it. And it went through my mind, how could this be? This is a space age. Give me a break. Evil spirits still hanging around. I knew they were, you know, discussed a lot in the Bible, and Jesus did a lot of that kind of ministry. But
so basically, you, a man of the world, able to travel, a military officer, you'd seen rockets, you'd seen the development of major things over your life, and the thought of a demon just didn't exist in the 20th century.
That's it, exactly. But I was in for a surprise, because I asked him if I could set in. I needed to set in to see some of that kind of ministry, as I realized. It was hard to imagine, so I asked him if he could work it out where I could set in on some of that kind of ministry. Well, he did that, and I sat on several different deliverances or exorcisms, and I even finally saw my first actual manifestations of demons talking out of people's mouths, and that's when it soaked in with me that it's real. I even finally saw a demon, the pastor said to the voice coming out of this Christian's mouth, he said, "Who's your master? Who do you serve?" And this voice came right back and said, "Satan." And that's when it soaked in. This has to be true, because I knew a Christian wouldn't go around saying something like that. So who's talking out of his mouth?
Well, Mr. Cox, we've got Cindy on the line, who I believe has been to your ministry. And if you'd like to introduce her and then talk just a little bit, let her give her testimony, I'm sure our listeners would appreciate that.
Well, sure. Cindy has a neat testimony, she has developed to be one of our team leaders at Deliverance Ministries. But I'm sure she never would have thought she would do this kind of thing with her background. So, Cindy, maybe you could share some. Are you there, Cindy?
Nope, let me bring her on. There we go. Sorry about that.
Can you hear me? Oh, you're okay.
Yeah.
How are you?
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you doing,
everybody? Cindy, I'm glad you're on. I was just, we were just talking about you, and maybe you were listening, but could you give some of your testimony on how you got introduced to this works of Jesus and how Christians even are commanded to do it and all?
Absolutely. I've been a Christian my whole life, and I never really knew this side of the spectrum, but I would say 2 or 3 years ago, I was actually, there was something going on in my life that I really couldn't put my finger on. Like, things were starting to, like, I was getting a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of insomnia, and just an onset of all these symptoms that just completely overwhelmed me and overtook me to the point where I had no control over it. And it started to scare me because I thought, I didn't know where this was going. And it started off pretty light, and then over time, it started to grow more and more over months. And my family was worried about me. I was losing a lot of weight. I was just looking very sickly. And so there were times where I was so paranoid, and I had so much fear to the point where I would actually check myself into the emergency room because I didn't know how to get help. I didn't know what to do. And my family, my family are Christians, and, you know, they would pray for me, but I believed and I had faith that their prayer would answer, their prayer would work, and it just, another cycle would happen, and I would just go into this state of, like, it was almost like paranoia and psychosis is what it's called medically, is psychosis. I would almost lose touch with reality and tried to go to the emergency room and try to get help. I knew something was wrong. I just couldn't put my finger on what was wrong.
Finally happened?
Okay, so I went to the emergency room the second time, and they ended up taking me to a mental hospital. And that was my biggest fear because I knew something was wrong. I was desperate for help. I didn't know how to get help. I would ask the preacher to pray for me, and still it was just a really quick, small prayer, and I'm like, I just need something different. I didn't know what it was, and ended up going to the mental hospital, and when I got out, I was on a mission to find out what is wrong with me. I mean, I was prescribed medication for insomnia, anxiety, and lithium for bipolar disorder. And this, like I said, this all came all together like in a rush, and I've never had any of these symptoms my whole life, ever, and it just all happened at once. So when I got out, I was thinking, man, I have this feeling that it's like a demonic thing, but am I crazy? Because I just got out of the mental hospital, so, I mean, maybe I'm just crazy, and maybe this is just, it was a kind of a test of faith. I'm like, I thought, you know, Christ came to heal people, and I don't know why I'm not getting healed. I don't understand. And I was confused, and I would cry a lot because I was like, how do I get out of this mess? And you know, after going through all that, I have a lot of compassion for people that, I mean, it's one of the darkest places you can ever be because no one else understands it, and you feel, you just alone, and you just feel crazy, and like, you just have this outlook that, yeah, I'm just crazy, and everybody thinks that I'm crazy, so it doesn't matter what I say, and you just kind of feel trapped, you know. So I was looking for answers, and I went online, and I looked up, could this be a demonic, is mental disorder a demonic thing, or is it a medical thing? And, it's such a taboo and controversial issue, I just wanted to get to the bottom of it, because I thought to myself, okay, if it's a medical thing, I'm going to take my medicine like the doctors told me to. I'll take the lithium, but the thing is, there's no cure for bipolar disorder or for these kind of mental problems. You have to live with medication, and I was willing to take it if that was my only option. And I was like, okay, either it's a physical thing, I have a chemical imbalance, and I have to be on medication, and that's fine, I'll do it. But if it's a spiritual thing, which I felt in my heart was, I need to get to the bottom of this, and I'll do anything. If it's a demonic thing, I don't care if I have to look at a demon in the face. I'll do whatever I can to ward this thing off, because I have Jesus. I knew I had Jesus, and if he is my backup, I shouldn't have anything to be scared of or worried about. So when I heard of the word deliverance, I wasn't familiar with that word. I didn't know what that meant, and I would hear the word exorcism with it, and I thought, man, I'm not possessed. I know I'm not possessed. But then I heard of the word oppressed. So to be possessed means to have something controlling your body, but to be oppressed is like to have forces, like demonic forces, oppressing you and bringing on this like dark cloud of oppression upon you. And so I was like, okay, that makes more sense to me. And so as I learned more about deliverance and how it works, and even what a demon is, because even at that time I was thinking, what is a demon? Is it just one of those monsters you see on the movies? Like, what is a demon? I didn't really quite understand it. I mean, because I couldn't relate to what those demons in the Bible that Jesus cast out, I mean, the ones that were foaming at the mouth and stuff, that wasn't me at all. And I was thinking, what? I was so confused, and I had a lot of questions. And when I went to deliverance, it really clearly answered so many questions about that I had and some of the issues that I was struggling with. And ever since I went in for deliverance, I was able to break off a lot of things that I didn't know that helped as far as being free and delivered. I didn't know that. My biggest thing is I didn't realize I had authority, because I didn't realize that no one had ever told me in my Christian walk that Jesus has given you authority to overcome all power of the enemy, that you greater is he than is anything in this world. And I didn't really click how powerful that was and how real that is today. And once I went through deliverance and came out of it, it was like nothing happened. It's like I was back to normal. Everybody noticed that I was different, and I had so much more knowledge to take with me from it. I understand, and I learned a lot more, and there's no medication or no price in the world that would be worth what I've learned from deliverance, because I'm able to utilize the authority. I've learned that. I've learned how powerful the power of the tongue is. I've learned about how powerful it is to just forgive people, because I hear, you know, I didn't know that having unforgiveness in your heart is so detrimental to becoming free from all these oppressions.
Mr.
So
Cox,
once I was able to forgive people, once I was able to break off maybe anything that was causing this, and Everett actually mentioned that it sounded like I had a satanic assignment against me, and I didn't know what that meant, so I had him explain that to me. And basically, after I went through the whole thing and I learned the whole process, my vision on life and my outlook on life is crystal clear, and now I have the compassion to help other people that are going through this. I have a huge heart for people that are struggling. So I love going in to minister to people. It really makes my whole life so much more valuable and meaningful. So I love it.
And Cindy is one of our team leaders now. You never would have imagined yourself, Cindy, to be an exorcist.
Absolutely not. If somebody were to tell me that, I would say they're crazy, and that would never be something I would think of doing. But I didn't know the word exorcist. You think of the movies and you think of just scary, but when you have Jesus, nothing's scary.
Mr. Cox, can you kind of give our listeners an idea of what a deliverance session is? You know, how you sit them down and pray for them and go over and just a quick rundown?
Sure, Chris. And, of course, it's not a quick thing. Certainly the way we do it will generally take, like our Monday night sessions, we wind up spending about 5 hours with each. That includes the teaching part. The preparation, and then I put a minister with each person that trained, like Cindy is. She's one of our trained team leaders. We have about 35 that are current. They don't all come every Monday night, but we normally will have about a dozen, 15 people that come for ministry. After sitting down, there's a little checklist our ministers use and go through a little interview so they have an understanding of what they want to accomplish. And then they go into breaking ungodly soul ties. We found that demons ride in on that a lot. And those are ungodly soul ties form up by dealing with people that are into ungodly things. And that's... And when that ungodly soul tie is formed, it's like a door that demons can come through. We have a prayer we take people through that breaks those ungodly soul ties. Then we do inner healing. Another way that demons come in on us is due to the traumas of the past, and where there's bad memories that carry bad feelings. And our Jesus will come in and heal those wounds, those emotional wounds of the past, supernaturally. That closes that door. And then we have already had people, when they first came in, fill out a two-page list of the names of typical spirits that we've run into over and over through the years. I've been doing this 37 years now, and we've done the Monday night meetings 31 years. We did 772 exorcisms last year, and we'll be over that this year. But we'll find when people circle their problem areas that more times than not, especially if it's something that's really tormenting, harassing, reoccurring, more times than not, that turns out to be the name of a spirit, which is great news because in Jesus' name, as we have all power to speak in his name, we can cast those things out and the problem is gone, just like what Cindy experienced, that bipolar and all represented probably around three dozen spirits. That's typically what we get out of most Christians. Now, that doesn't mean Christians can be possessed. We're not in our spirit man. Being a born-again Christian, your spirit is secure in Jesus, and your spirit will go to be with the Lord. But where the demons torment Christians is in the body area and the soul area, the mind, will, emotion. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 points out how we have those three parts. So that answers that question. When you hear people say Christians can't have demons, nothing could be further from the truth is what we've seen, because Christians are the targets. We're the ones that are likely to share Jesus, so Satan has us on his hit list. Does that make sense, Chris?
Yes. Cindy, was there any area of your life that you could see that allowed them to oppress you or to come in and start influencing your life? Was there something that happened, something traumatic or an area of unforgiveness?
You know, one thing that I learned from... can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. One thing that I learned from Deliverance, which blew me away, I had no idea that Freemasonry in the family line can actually affect the third and fourth generation because of the background of the Freemasonry. And I had no idea, and I have a great grandpa on my family side, on my dad's side, that was a really high-ranking Freemason, and he had a couple of sons that were actual murderers that here in Oklahoma, I mean, they were actually mass murderers here in Oklahoma in the early 30s, and I tried to put pieces together, and I'm thinking, what if something from that line came down from my family? And that was the only thing I could think of, because I knew never to play with Ouija boards. I knew, you know, all those things like that I stayed away from, just common sense as a Christian. I would never play with those things. So I don't know what really gave access. I'm thinking that I know for a fact that was in my family, and I broke everything off as far as Freemasonry goes. And it's funny because in the breaking off of that Freemasonry from your family, there's a part that says that it can cause a lot of nasal and allergy symptoms and things like that. And I have always had really bad allergies. And once I've finished with Deliverance, I don't have allergies. Like, it's like seasonal allergies. I don't have it anymore anywhere like I used to. And every now and then it'll start to creep in, and I'll start to get my allergies, and I'll go through that Freemasonry prayer and break everything. And then literally I've had it to where that same day my allergies are gone. Like, it's just like I read it, and then I feel it clear up. It's crazy. And then that's happened two or three other times. Sometimes it'll take a day or two, but usually when I get my allergies, they last like 2.5 weeks, and it's miserable, and I can't breathe. And I'm like, and so I thought that was interesting as far as the allergy thing goes. And I don't think it's a coincidence.
Well, Satan, like a serpent.
Yeah.
Satan, like a serpent, just tries to sneak back in and try to gain access, is what I've noticed. And, you know, maybe a little allergy here or a little fall there or a little unforgiveness there. And then he tries to get a toehold so that he can get a stronghold. Is that your experience, Mr. Cox?
Well, yes. And we have to keep the doors closed. We've learned that we've identified 15 doors that demons can come through to torment Christians. And so before we get into ministry, we take everybody through that 15-minute door-closing prayer. That's on our website, and people can go on there and do it. But that pretty well closes those doors in a general way. Sometimes we still have to fine-tune, but overall, does a pretty good job, and that's why our ministries, they're not like the movies, even though we've occasionally seen that, but we'll go many months of our Monday night meetings and during the week at the office without major manifestations. People often have some yawns, coughs, or burps. They feel the spirits moving in their body physically, but they'll feel them also come out, most of them. And once they feel them go, they can even say to the minister, "Ah, you got that one." And we'll usually get, again, around 36 spirits out of each Christian that comes for ministry. Surprising as that is, I wouldn't have thought it, but that's what we've seen over these years. And it's a pattern that's just always there.
Well, good. Thank you, Cindy,
another
for calling
thing that,
in.
Besides the Freemasonry, that really, really surprised me was I did a lot of yoga, and I had no idea yoga was connected to anything demonic at all. I thought it was good for you and had health benefits. So I used to do that all the time, and then I learned through Deliverance that it's actually connected to demonic. Like, I don't know the history of it, but there's a history behind it where... I guess it's
Hinduism.
Supposed to honor the different gods, and when you do that, it's not God's plus God. You don't do that. So I've learned that the Kundalini spirit is a demon that operates through yoga, and I didn't know about that, and that really threw me off. And really, it took me a while to even believe that. I was thinking, there's no way. But once I started researching it and learning it and being a minister at Deliverance, I'm like, wow, this is real. Like, this is so real. And it's such a common exercise, and it's supposed to be healthy, and it's supposed to be good. So it's very deceiving. And that devil, I mean, he is a deceiver, so I get it. And, I mean, it makes sense, but most people would never believe that that's demonic, you know.
Well, thank you for calling in, Cindy. We appreciate it. And Mr. Cox, have you found out that there has been an increase in demonic activity due to things like Harry Potter and the fact that most Christians don't have the heart that Cindy had to know to stay away from those things?
Well, of course, it's always been there. I think, are tending to recognize it more today because of the... media and the internet and all that we have before us today, all the cable channels, and many of them showing exorcisms and haunted houses and so forth, that people are starting to think more about the spirit world than in the past. But yes, anything that promotes witchcraft is a demonic door. And that really saddens me, because knowing how many of the Harry Potter books and all have been sold worldwide, that there's no question that will open doors for demonic activity. Anything in witchcraft in your house can do that. Books on how to do witchcraft. There's lots of doors just in the witchcraft arena itself. Satan has many methods, and he's always had them, but they're more so today with all the electronic games that have satanic overtones, and so there's plenty of action as far as that goes. It's widespread. Most people still do not recognize that many of their problems can be demonic. They just think it's flesh and blood. And of course, Paul had that same problem in Ephesians 6:11-12 when he was speaking to the church at Ephesus. He was warning them then that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but the demonic. And it's true today.
Well, if anyone has any questions they'd like to call in, the telephone number is 307-745-5913. That's 307-745-5913.
And, Chris, now, this is Richard here. We got Ralph on the line.
So, well, good. Welcome, Ralph.
Good evening, Chris, Mr. Everett. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Ralph.
Well, I just wanted to call and touch on the testimony that I received while visiting out in Oklahoma City with Deliverance Ministries. I had dabbled some in my young age with a Ouija board. And shortly after that, I started having physical manifestations off and on all my life, and had a lot of problems with drugs and alcohol in my youth, which definitely kept those doors open. Even to the point of the night before my deliverance, I had witnessed, and I don't know if I witnessed to you or not, Everett, about this, but I witnessed this to Clint, who had administered with me the night at the hotel room. I actually had a physical force hold me down in the bed and saw a manifestation of a rattlesnake in the bed with me. I have been learning for some time to tell these things to go, but they have always came back in many manifestations. Even had some after, right after our last gathering in Branson. And I'm very, very thankful for finding and coming to meet Mr. Everett and Deliverance Ministries, because I know now that that I just don't have the authority to tell them to go away. They are gone and cast out from me. I have had many Masonic ties in my bloodline from my grandparents on up. I'd learned this just how many it was when I did a historical society speech last spring, and was doing a lot of things on findagrave.com, and was really discovering just how many Masons were in my bloodline. And I know that Deliverance Ministries has a prayer to help deal with that, and I've gone through with that. But the experience of the deliverance is just absolutely amazing to anyone that that is suffering from things. And I've suffered from many things after becoming a Christian, and I did not understand why I could stop the sin. It would be gone for a while, but then it would creep back in like it was a compulsion, an absolute compulsion, and I would have voices that would literally convince me, one time's not a big deal, and I would do the repeated sin, be in tears the next morning, asking why do I keep doing this, why do I have this anger, why do I deal with things such as lust and other things. And now I understand for a lot of things are explained to me about generationally, about confessing the sins of our forefathers and breaking those generational ties at conception. And I'm absolutely thankful to the Lord, and thankful for the Holy Spirit's leading guidance of me towards that ministry, and the Holy Spirit working in those men there. The man who ministered with me, Clint, has been keeping in touch with me, and he's just a fantastic individual. And we've had some great conversations and great fellowship over the last month. And that's just,
well, Ralph, would you say that you were tormented?
I was tormented. I was absolutely tormented.
You're trying to walk this Christian walk that you know you're supposed to, that you know is in the Word, that's in your heart,
yes,
because you're a baptized believer.
Yes.
But you are still tormented from some outside force, and you knew it wasn't God, you knew it wasn't right, and Satan had you.
He did. And I'd struggled with a lot of it over the years because of the false teaching we'd heard at one time, that the devil is not real and demons were nothing more than diseases. So I just figured that, well, I must be wrong.
Well, Ralph, if there's nothing else, we've got Bob on hold from Ohio.
Okay.
I think he has a question, but
okay.
If you got anything to add before you go?
No. If there's anything, either I'll call back in or shoot you someone a text, and they can just talk about it. But thank you, and Everett, good to hear from you again. God bless, gentlemen.
God bless you.
Thank you, Ralph. And guys, we'll bring Bob on. Hey, good evening, Bob.
Hi, how are you? There's a question that I had to bring up about something. In Ephesians 4:4-6, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, what I think is that what you're calling baptism of the Holy Spirit is actually just, I know you understand what's happening, maybe, but from all my studying that I've done on this, I think what's happened, there's one baptism that is water baptism, and with the laying on of hands, and then you receive the Holy Spirit. And I think what's happening that you're referring to as Holy Spirit baptism or baptism of the Holy Spirit is it's a delayed receiving of the Holy Spirit. It's not a second baptism. It is not actually baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're just completing your actual one baptism. And it's happening with a lot of people because they never had hands laid on them like they were supposed to at the water baptism. If you look in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 19, both Peter in 8 and Paul in 19 were, it tells you in both places, these people weren't receiving the Holy Spirit until those apostles laid hands on them. And I think that's the problem here, and this is something even for our people on the ministry, that they should pay attention to those scriptures so that you don't have a delay of receiving the Holy Spirit, that they can get it. You know, they should be laying hands on the people like the Bible tells you they should be doing. And all throughout what I read in the early church writings in the first 2-3 generations after the apostles, it was always the same formula. Baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, because when they were doing that, they were invoking the Holy Spirit and they were laying hands on the person right then and there. They didn't wait until years later to do it.
Bob, one thing I don't want to address a lot of this right now, but I will agree with you, and I think Everett will agree with you also, that to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit as soon as possible.
Well, there is no actual baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a wrongful expression, and it's confusing to people.
Okay, well, Bob, we're not going to talk about this right now. Richard?
Say again?
Right. Well, Bob, again, and Bob, and, I mean, your points are taken. Appreciate it. And I know Chris said he wants to look into it, and I don't think we want, we see from the scriptures that there is a giving of the Holy Spirit. If it's a matter of semantics and having the wording wrong or the wording different than what we're used to, that's going to work. But Bob, we appreciate your call. We sure do. Thanks for calling in. And Chris, we'll go back to you there.
If you'd like to find out more about the Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, you can go to deliveranceusa.org or delmin.org. Either web address will take you to their site. Now, one of the biggest things that happened to me when going through your site and through the Deliverance with you, Mr. Cox, was I do not know anyone in my family that were Masons. I have no knowledge of anybody ever speaking of Masons. But when I did the prayer that you have online on your website, when I prayed the prayer for the 33rd degree Mason to break the bondage and the sin with that, I felt something let go of me, and I have been a different person since that one instance.
Praise God. Well, a lot of people had that. I had two grandfathers that were into it. I found out they were, I never knew them. They were dead before I was born, but I had to go through breaking that off as well. And it's a lot more common than you would think.
And you know, while I'm thinking about it, what I want to say about Bob or any of the other ones out there, semantics, or, you know, like Christ said, washing the outside of the cup and leaving inside of the cup dirty. We're dealing with setting people free from bondages here. We may not agree with everything, but the fact is that our people are being tormented. Our people are having problems like Ralph and like Cindy and like I had, and we are going to find out what it's going to take to set our people free in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to tolerate or have people call in just to discuss whether this happens then or this happens later. The fact is, there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's mentioned in Scripture. The fact is that people should be baptized with water. It's mentioned in Scripture. And the fact is that our people are tormented and they need to be set free in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And Chris, if I could add, you know, while I got the Comforter when the Holy Spirit came in his fullness, I noticed a number of other things that suddenly happened. And I realized the Holy Spirit came with a whole package. I had an ability to witness for Jesus I had never had. I was very shy about talking about the Lord. And then I had a hunger for the Bible to read it. I never had that. And then I'd open the Bible and it'd jump out at me. I could understand the Scriptures more than I ever could. But it is a baptism for service. And that's exactly what happened with me, because it ultimately led to me forming up Deliverance Ministries Incorporated here in Oklahoma City, and now we minister to thousands and thousands of people, tens of thousands actually now, and it's all because of me receiving that baptism of the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have ever been doing that.
Absolutely. And the fact that our people are being set free from things that torment them, that have kept them from reading the Word, from understanding the Word, from professing the Word, and from walking in a testimony that's a witness of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we deny that? Wasn't it Jesus that said to, when the apostles came and complained about someone casting out demons in his name, and the apostles said, well, I forbid them. And Jesus said, well, don't forbid them. You know, anything done in my name, you know, they're serving.
Right. Amen. So true.
One of the things I wanted to...
Go ahead.
I was wanting you to mention what a... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Your turn, go ahead.
I wanted you to kind of mention what a soul tie was, because that seems to be so important in a deliverance aspect.
Yes, it is, and it's so important that that's the very first thing we do in our checklist of ministering to someone. We start there. Right after the interview, and ungodly soul ties, getting into more detail about it, can form up, as I mentioned earlier, by bonding with someone that's into ungodly things. But it also can come about due to traumas, sexual abuse, locking of horns. It's not unusual to even have ungodly soul ties with parents. Many of the people we ministered to did not have good starts. Their parents were tough situations, and they would have ungodly soul ties with them. But other people, sexual involvement outside of marriage, would there be ungodly soul ties there? And we deal in that a lot. By the time we finish doing the ungodly soul ties, people feel absolutely wonderful. They think they're even through with the whole deliverance. They couldn't imagine feeling better, and we haven't even done the rest of things of casting out of evil spirits. Well, what were you going to say, Chris?
I heard one minister put it this way. You know, in the Bible it says that you become one flesh, you know, in a sexual encounter. If you become one flesh with somebody, and that person has, say, 36 demonic entities influencing their life, you've become part of that. Now, if that other person has gone out, and I think the average was 7 sexual encounters in a 5-year period, multiply that times 36. And what kind of soul ties does that create that gives access to you, and then we wonder why the children and youth that we look at in this nation now look so lost and have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, so true. Yeah. It's a tough situation out there. But all we can do is what we can do, and what we do at Deliverance Ministries Incorporated here in Oklahoma City is a drop in the bucket. but we still do 50 to 60 a month, and it's gratifying to hear the testimonies. I did a radio show for 22 years, 5 days a week, and it was an interview show of visiting with people that had had deliverance and how their life had changed as a result. Many physical healings come about as well by going through deliverance.
I wanted to ask you, what is the biggest change that you can recall in all those years of ministry that you've seen in a person from just going through deliverance? Almost like a completely flipping a coin in a one-night deliverance session.
Well, it's extremely common to see people unload about 36 demons. The main prerequisite to all this, Chris, is that the person has to really be wanting it. God will not go against self-will. So the people that we do so well with are those that are coming to us saying, I need help. Somebody help me. Jesus, help me. Well, we can take them by the hand, go through this process that we've learned, and see Jesus set them free. But that is a big prerequisite. We have some that are brought there by parents, that kind of thing, and they're not really wanting to be there. Well, it can be very difficult with people like that. But Cindy's a good example of what we see. I can think of people that have had panic attacks, and they were set free in one session, and it goes on and on. I have hundreds and hundreds of testimony tapes. I put a little over, I think we got 31 on the website off my old radio show, and about half of them are from physical healings. They had other demons bothering them as well, and most all of them had the good 36 that we so often run into.
And what amazes me is how different they look just looking at them physically.
Yeah.
Their faces, the glow in their eyes, their posture, everything about them is so different after a deliverance session.
Exactly. They look younger even. Many times their wrinkles kind of disappear. You look at them from when they came in and when they left, they don't look like the same person.
Well, Jesus said, my yoke is light. And when they come in, I know that you've mentioned one time that the number one comment people get is that they feel lighter. Well, Satan's
yes.
yoke is not light, but the yoke of our Lord Jesus Christ is.
Yeah, it's like a blanket of heaviness that come off as you unload around 36 demons. Any one of them that comes off, you'll feel better. When you get 36, man, you're feeling great. And that's what we get to see at the end of the evening, the big smiles. They're laughing and jumping, and as a minister, we go home with big highs.
I seem to have noticed that a lot of people have a poverty curse. Can you speak just a little bit about curses, or particularly the poverty curse, or how you've witnessed that in the ministry?
Yes, we run into it quite a bit, Chris, and I have for many years. I still remember the first one I ever ran into. It was a surgical nurse, and she in ministry started manifesting with the demons talking out of her mouth, and this I commanded to know who the demon was, and it said poverty, and then it finally said, I want to keep her from giving to that old church. I want to keep her from giving to that old church. The demon said that. Kind of figures they don't want them to tithe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they're pretty common, financial bondage, cash stealing, a lack. Those can all be evil spirits. And many of them are put on assignment. Sometimes they're generational, but about half the demons we cast out of a person are usually there by a satanic assignment coming directly from Satan's war room. Those assignments are put on Christians to block their lives, and financial is one of the areas they block.
Now, you've mentioned assignments. Explain
yes.
that.
Well, we've been talking about the doors that demons come through. There can be generational doors. But we've learned this from the demons themselves.
in about one out of three, the demons will actually talk through the person. And as a result, here we are, Christian soldiers interrogating a prisoner of war. We can pick up quite a bit of information. They are inherent liars, of course, so you have to pin them down constantly by saying to the demon when they tell you something, will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit? And it'll say yes or no to that. And so you can pin them down, and we've learned, therefore, that many of them have come through by assignments. They didn't come through doors. The demon is there by a satanic assignment coming from Satan's war room. And the good news being, assignments are very easy to break, because like Luke 10:19 points out, in Jesus' name we do have all power over the enemy, the demonic realm, and even a promise that nothing will harm us. So with all power, it's very easy to break satanic assignments. I speak that out, break them off, and then I confirm with the demon that those assignments are now canceled. I even cancel them permanently off and add that.
Well, Mr. Cox, we're about to run out of time. Let me read as we go out. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And if you want more information about this ministry, deliveranceusa.org. deliveranceusa.org. They've got a lot of material online, and I want to thank you for being with us tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, good to be aboard, and blessings to you and your ministry, Chris.
Well, let's just do what the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to do, which is preach the gospel into the whole world, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. Can you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen.
Blessings.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. Strong. When there is silence, hope gives a song. Out there in a world that seems so wrong, hope lives on. I still recall that bright September morn when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn. Like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our.